KIRN, Simi Valley, Los Angeles, 95.5 FM, HD3.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Quick action by the authorities.
Investigators from multiple federal and local law enforcement agencies were at a home in Antioch in suburban Nashville after receiving information relevant to the investigation, according to FBI Special Agent Jason Pack. Another law enforcement official speaking on the condition of anonymity told the Associated Press investigators regard someone associated with the property as a person of interest in the bombing. Earlier Saturday, investigators said they were looking at a number of individuals who may be connected to the bombing, but have also found no additional explosive devices. The blast, which rocked an AT&T building, also knocked out some 911 cell and Wi-Fi communications across the state. I'm Julie Walker.
In the meantime, three people injured in that blast remain hospitalized in stable condition. Also at townhall.com, a Houston hospital plans to start vaccinating workers from outside its own buildings.
The approved Moderna vaccines have arrived in Houston, and that cleared the path for healthcare officials at Houston's Memorial Hermann Health System to begin scheduling appointments for first responders, community pharmacists, and school nurses who were not included in the initial rollout of shots. Meanwhile, local leaders have warned Texans to avoid travel during the holidays to reduce spread of the virus through large gatherings. John Scott reporting.
Number of COVID-19 cases worldwide has now topped 80 million. Data compiled by Johns Hopkins University says the number of confirmed deaths related to the pandemic across the globe stands at 1.75 million. Germany, Hungary, and Slovakia have begun administering now virus vaccinations, with the EU's first shipments of the Pfizer vaccine. Shipment of vaccines arrived to 27 different nations. More on these stories at townhall.com.
کارآفرینان
ارائه از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN
کارآفرینان.
سلام و روز بخیر خدمت همگی شما شنوندگان عزیز. دبی امینی هستم و خوشحالم در این ایام کریسمس و آخرین روزهای سال 2020 در خدمت شما عزیزان هستم. امیدوارم که با پایان این سال دوران بیماری و نگرانی از بیمار شدن، در واقع هر نوع بیماری و به خصوص کووید 19 به پایان برسه. آرزو میکنم که زاد روز مسیح پیام‌آور عشق بر همگان مبارک باشه و رحم نمودها و درسهای این معلم عشق در سال جدید میلادی سال 2021 در جهت گسترش صلح و دوستی به کار برده بشه و سلامتی و شادی رو برای جهانیان به ارمغان بیاره. میهمان برنامه امروز عزیزی هستند که دوران نوجوانی و جوانی بسیار سختی رو پشت سر گذاشتن و زندگیشون رو از یک مجرم جنایتکار به یک بیزینسمن موفق تبدیل کردن. ایشون دوران دبیرستان رو در 9 اردوگاه مختلف سر کردند. چند تای از این اردوگاه ها به دلیل کودک‌آزاری، تجاوزهای جنسی و شکنجه های شدید بدنی امروز بسته شدن. چندین بار مرگ رو به چشم خودشون دیدن به علت ضرب و شتم، ضربات چاقو و مشت و لگد. نیمی از صورت رو در ناحیه فک از دست دادن و با این همه وقتی سرنوشت شانس تازهی بهشون داده از فرصت استفاده کردن، مشغول کار شدند و امروز راکی سین کاندولا در سن 31 سالگی بنیانگذار و مدیرعامل هیر میدن ایندیا هستند و در حال کارآفرینی و موفقیت‌های چشمگیر در بسیاری از کشورهای دنیا. احتمالاً از اسمشون و اسم بیزینسشون حد زدید که هندی تبار هستند. ایشون در نیویورک به دنیا آمدند و فارغ التحصیل رشته فلسفه از آلاباما هستند. مصاحبه من با ایشون به انگلیسی خواهد بود، اما ترجمه از صحبت‌ها رو خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز عرض خواهم کرد. در ضمن کارگردان فنی خوبمون آقای آیدین حجیر خط‌های تلفن رو باز گذاشتند. تلفن 323-512-7264 در خدمتتون هست اگر که مایلید با استودیو تماس بگیرید و با میهمان امروز برنامه صحبتی داشته باشید. Rocky Singh Kandola, welcome to today's program.
Hello, Miss Debbie. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure to have you. You know, I want to start by congratulating you, transforming your life from a convicted felon to a successful businessman. Doesn't sound like an easy task, is it?
Definitely not. It's been quite a journey, as I kind of went over in the bio with you, lots of ups and downs.
I bet. So tell me, what happened? Why did you end up living in boot camps? And how old were you?
Got it. So my parents were born and raised in India. Both my mom and dad both kind of came from like humble backgrounds and migrated to the U.S. when I was a child, before I was born, actually. And I was born in New York City. From there, we had a little family. We're Punjabi. You know, they're from North India. My mom was from Calcutta, actually, but Punjabi family as well. So they quickly moved away to the south. My dad, following his career, he's a physician, a cardiologist. So he moved down to the south where he opened a practice and began working with a hospital system down there that really needed, you know, a cardiologist. They, I believe back then, 25 years ago, something like that, they had no cardiologist down there. So the lifestyle down there as kids, you know, we wanted to be out and about, play a lot, be playing tennis out in nature, running around with friends, you know, parties and this and that. And our parents, you know, very strict still, Indian upbringing and background. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, especially on this show can relate. Just, you know, the having parents who are very, very strict like that and wanting us to be, you know, studying at home, you know, being with the family and things like that. Down there, we kind of really got into a lifestyle of being out and about with our friends, playing sports. So my father and I started, you know, arguing quite a bit at a young age. He didn't really know, you know, where he was sending me. It wasn't, you know, on purpose that he knew I was going to go to these places and things were going to happen. But the places he sent me to, you know, ended up being shut down and closed by, you know, countries and governments due to child abuse, rape, torture. You know, kids even committed suicide while they were there. Paris Hilton, a famous celebrity here, she also actually just did a documentary called This Is Me. It's on Netflix, or This Is Paris. It's on Netflix now, about the schools that she went to that are very similar to the same ones I went to. So my childhood was, you know, this first school going there. You know, it was very, very kind of like physically, sexually, mentally abusive, and a lot of brainwashing, a lot of games. So me, I remember when I first got there, I went behind the room. And as soon as you get in it, your head is shaved, your clothes are stripped down, the temperature goes down, you're given just, you know, gray sweatpants to wear. You know, people start screaming at you, pushing you, shoving you suddenly. And then you enter a regimented, strict program on a daily basis of, you know, the same things over and over, you know, without communication with the outside world, without communication with anybody next to you. We weren't allowed to sit down, stand up, speak, walk, talk, or anything without permission, you know, or speak with anyone we ever knew before. And we never knew as kids, you know, when we would leave. We were just told that you have to work this program and you gain points and eventually, you know, you get to leave. Or if you don't make it, then you get put on the border of Mexico and America with $50 and a bus ticket. You know, the rest of my childhood was bouncing around between different boot camps, military schools, until at 17, I got sent back to the same one, you know, near on the border of Canada and New York, you know, where the admin, where I had faced personally quite a bit of physical abuse. You know, I was kicked down a hallway and thrown on my stomach with my chin on the ground and my hands and my feet tied behind my back and just forced to stay there for a couple of days at a time and only have rice and orange juice twice a day for meals. However, you know, 5 years later, after I got out of that program, went to a different one. The next one I went to, the same person that did that was the administration at the next place. So I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning in my parents' house with my ankles and my feet handcuffed together with two very tall guys that picked me up and escorted me across the country to this program where I spent, you know, the rest of my time until I finally graduated. After graduating high school, you know, I joined college early, actually around 17. At that time, I didn't even know it, but I had a fake high school diploma because the school that, you know, had the abusive schools, they were actually not accredited by the states to give out actual high school diplomas. So it's just another one of the ways they're, you know, very manipulative towards, you know, the parents as well as the children. But anyway, you know, I kind of got that behind me and I got into adult life and I quickly dove into just everything crazy and bad, from alcohol to partying to drugs to women to selling drugs, doing drugs, everything. I didn't really care about anything or anybody. You couldn't really tell me, you know, what to do. I wouldn't listen to anybody. And that, you know, after 3 or 4 years, that quickly got me down the road of selling more and more drugs. And eventually I wound up in Alabama State Prison for distribution of controlled substances, cocaine. You know, I spent a couple years in prison and, you know, a couple years in jail and rehabs and all kinds of things. In total, it was nearly 7 years of my life in total. But yeah, that's after getting out, you know, I still had the same mindset. And that's when I kind of first started to make the first change in my life was when I first got out. After I got back in the lifestyle, my father came to me one day and asked me if I wanted to take a break and get away from everything. And that was the day, November 4th, 2011 or 12, when I let go of everything, my friends, my girlfriend, the lifestyle of living, my house, my car, and left and went to India and kind of restarted everything. And that was the beginning of the journey that I've been on since.
Very good. You answered majority of the questions that I had prepared to ask you, which is good. So it makes it even easier. So let me just make sure that I heard you right. So you got in fights with your father because obviously they didn't want you to go out and play sports, or was it something that more than that you were doing and they were against it? Was it just because they didn't want you to socialize with people around your age?
Basically, I was doing a lot of socializing. There was girls next door. I would go play with them, and they didn't like that. And I mean, not only that, I talked back a lot. Like, I was a very you know, Indian parents, I wanted to be quiet, listen to the family. I was very, very talkative, talk back. I wasn't quiet. I would scream and shout and yell and things as well.
So before that, before you coming out of these boot camps, you weren't actually doing anything bad, like doing drugs or alcohol or anything. You went there because you were talking bad and because you were going to your neighbor's house or I don't know, something which is, I think, very normal living in America. But after the boot camp where you were sent to, so you wouldn't talk back and this stuff, that's when you got into the major trouble, like doing drugs and alcohol and dealing cocaine and this stuff. Am I right?
Exactly. So after the first boot camp, I was the youngest kid there. I was, I think, 12 years old. So all the other kids would make fun of me and say, you've never had alcohol. You've never had, you know, weed. You've never been with a girl. So when I got out, I was like, okay, now it's time for me to explore and learn everything else out there. So then after 13, 14 is when I started, you know, getting into small things slowly more and more.
Okay. And so finally, when your dad came to you and asked you to change your life, that was the turning point. So, you know, the entire trouble started when you were basically kicked out of the house. And then when the love came back, then you were able to put your life back together and get on your feet, right?
That's definitely like a good way to say it. It was kind of more like I was back in the same lifestyle. My dad just asked me do I want to leave? And then I made the decision to go, and that's when things started to change. I was no longer living at home or coming to them, you know, asking them for money and things like that. So he began to wonder and worry, you know, what am I doing? Am I going to get myself in more trouble? And he just wanted me to get away from everything. And, you know, finally I decided, like, you know, maybe let me get away and leave. This is after jail, after my jaw was actually assaulted. I was, it was an attempted murder on my life in the middle of prison. After all the surgeries and I got my teeth back and then prison and probation was done, that's when I actually got the chance to leave and head to India.
So you mentioned in your bio that you've been shot at, stabbed, kidnapped, and you were kicked in the face to the point that you almost died, not once or twice, at least 8 times. These are the things that happened to you while being in the boot camps and prison or while you were living off these places?
So the first time I was shot at was actually when I was about 11 or 12. I was playing a pickup basketball game in like the quote unquote the hood. It's like a kind of a bad neighborhood area in near my town. And my friend made a bet on the game. And we basically didn't honor the bet at the end. And we were running away. And that's when the guy shot at us. Luckily, you know, obviously I wasn't hit or anything. But every single thing that's happened from the kidnapping was basically when I was woken up at the 2 o'clock in the morning and taken across the country by those two individuals. I was stabbed in South Florida, helping a friend. A guy basically tried to rob him from his lap after we got in an altercation driving, and he stabbed me in my arm. And then for all the surgeries, I think over 15 surgeries have came from the attempted murder and the jaw injury. They had to take bone out of my hip and then put it into my head. And then when they did that, the bone didn't take, so they had to do it again and then take the bone from my head and put it into my mouth. And then finally, after more and more surgeries, they were able to put implants in my mouth and then put teeth on top of it.
Wow. Let me translate a little bit for our audience what you and I talked about so far. دوستان عزیز شنونده آقای راکی سین کاندولا برامون دارن تعریف میکنن که پدر و مادر اهل هندوستان بودن. ایشون در نیویورک دنیا آمدن. پدرشون متخصص قلب بودن و خب خانواده‌ای بودن که سختگیر بودن و میخواستن مراقبت‌های ویژه رو از فرزند خودشون به عمل بیارن به طرزی که در هندوستان معمول بوده و اینکه ایشون بخواد بیرون بره با دوستان بازی بکنه، به خصوص اینکه با یک دختر همسایه دوست داشتن که فقط روابط دوستی داشته باشن و اینکه وقتی پدر و مادر بهشون اعتراض میکردن که بیشتر خونه بمونن و انقدر با دوستان وقت نگذارن، خیلی جواب پدر و مادر رو میدادن، به خصوص پدرشون، و با همدیگه دعوا و مخالفت داشتن. به همین دلیل پدر فکر میکنن که ایشون بهتر هست که به این اردوگاه های تربیتی برن که شاید اونجا یکمی سر به راه تر باشن و بیشتر به حرف پدر گوش کنن. و متاسفانه این اردوگاه ها جایی بوده که همونطوری که قبلا اشاره کردم در اون کودک آزاری، شکنجه و همینطور تجاوز های جنسی انجام داده می شده و وقتی که ایشون از اونجا بیرون میان متاسفانه درگیر مسائل دیگه ای مثل الکل و استفاده از مواد مخدر میشن و بعد خودشون کم کم شروع میکنن به خرید و فروش مواد مخدر و به همین علت مدت 2 سال زندانی میشن در استیت آلاباما. و بعد از اینکه از زندان بیرون میان طبق ملاقاتی که با پدر داشتن، پدر ازشون خواهش میکنن که برگردن و زندگی صحیح رو در پیش بگیرن و ایشون زندگی خوب و درست و سالم رو انتخاب میکنن. در زمینم اضافه کنم که در بین تمام مشکلاتی که داشتن بهشون تیراندازی شده، کتک کاری داشتن در حدی که فک و نیمی از صورت رو از دست دادن، بعد از اون عملهای جراحی بسیاری داشتن که بعد پزشکا طبق این عملهای جراحی تونستن استخون رو از سر بگیرن و بعد صورت ایشون رو بازسازی بکنن. و خب مشکلات بسیاری رو از حدود 11-12 سالگی ایشون داشتن تا موقعی که تونستن با پدر ملاقات دیگه ای داشته باشن و به اصطلاح برگردن و انتخاب صحیح و سالم رو برای ادامه زندگی در پیش بگیرن. Rocky, you're now the founder and the CEO of Hair Made in India. I want to talk about your current life, your new business, and your success in that area. But right now, we have to take a commercial break. We're going to go to the commercial break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation so I can learn about your business now. دوستان عزیز، به پیام های بازرگانی گوش میکنیم و باز بر میگردیم. در خدمت شما عزیزان خواهیم بود. با ما.
قابل توجه رانندگان و مسافران اوبر و لیفت، دفاتر حقوقی دکتر کامران یدیدی، قوی ترین دفتر وکالت تصادفات با تجربه هزاران پروندگی رایت شیر، از همکنون تا پایان دسامبر 2020 پس از پذیرش پرونده شما مبلغ $3,000 را بدون بهره جهت کمک های مالی در شرایط فعلی اقتصادی برای شما فراهم خواهد کرد. قدرت، تجربه و توانایی حقوقی و مالی دفاتر دکتر کامران یدیدی به عنوان موفق‌ترین دفتر وکالت تصادفات در جامعه ایرانی آس برنده و پشتوانه پرونده شماست. از این حمایت مالی استفاده کنید. 818-999-99-99 در تصادفات رایتشر بهترین وکیل تصادفات بیشک تنها یکیست، آن هم دکتر کامران یدیدی است. Some restrictions apply.
من سیامک شجریان، عهده‌دار تدریس آواز و ترانه های ایرانی هستم.
من کیاوش نورایی، سازهای ویالون، پیانو و سنتور را آموزش می‌دهم.
پریسا دانشور هستم، مدرس نی و موسیقی کودکان.
مهدی باقری هستم، مدرس کمانچه، ستار و تئوری موسیقی.
میثاق اسحاقی هستم، مدرس کمانچه، تنبک و دف.
متین اسحاقی هستم، مدرس تار و ستار.
310-477-4141.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50
رادیو ایران 670 AM با صدها هزار شنونده در ایالات متحده و سراسر جهان پشتیبان جامعه ایرانیان در جنوب کالیفرنیا به ویژه در لس آنجلس و اورنج کانتی است.
شما نیز می توانید از همینک با تایپ نشانی KIRN 670 AM در اپ استور و گوگل استور گوشی های خود اپلیکیشن رادیو ایران را تنها با یک کلیک
به صورت رایگان دانلود کرده و همراه با دیگر ایرانیان سراسر جهان آسان تر از گذشته شنونده برنامه های ما باشید.
به نتیجه رساندن پرونده های حقوقی معیار کارایی وکیل است، نه جار و جنجال تبلیغاتی.
از این رو در دعاوی حقوقی یک وکیل آگاه، توانمند و صادق است که پرونده را به نتیجه می رساند. دکتر رادنی مصریانی با سالها تجربه در امور دعاوی حقوقی با تیم ورزیده حامی شما در امور تصادفات، صدمات بدنی و اختلافات کارمند و کارفرماست. دکتر رادنی مصریانی، وکیلی خوشنام و نامی معتبر در دادگاه‌ها و شرکت‌های بیمه است که قانون را خوب می‌شناسد و توانمندانه از حقوق شما دفاع می‌کند و پرونده شما را تا جبران خسارت کامل همراهی می‌کند. دکتر رادنی مصریانی 818-80-80-88 818-80-80-88 مصریانیلا.com.
از هم اکنون افزون بر پخش زنده صبحانه با هما سرشار از ساعت 8 تا 10 بامداد هرشنبه، بیش از پیش از رسانه‌های اجتماعی نیز یاری می‌گیریم. برای دسترسی به آرشیو برنامه‌های گذشته خانه دوست و صبحانه با هما سرشار، آنها را در یوتیوب، فیسبوک، اینستاگرام، تلگرام و سامانه شخصیم برای شما یاران وفادار بارگذاری کرده ایم و هر هفته آنها را بروز می‌کنیم. در رسانه‌های اجتماعی ثبت نام کنید، دنبالم کنید و لایک را فراموش نکنید. تا هر زمان که خواستید برنامه مورد علاقه خود صبحانه با هما سرشار را گوش کنید. نان داغ و چای داغ و بحث داغ. هماسرشار.com، facebook.com/هماسرشار، youtube.com/هماسرشار، instagram.com/هماسرشار، telegram.com/هماسرشار.
I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Ever forgotten a password? Or misplaced your cell phone or keys? That's what every day feels like for a person living with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's Greater Los Angeles provides free services to families and caregivers in Greater LA and the Inland Empire. Remember, you're not alone. Go online for help, to donate, or to get involved at 844-HELP-ALZ or ALZGLA.org. That's ALZGLA.org.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. FBI has identified a person of interest in connection with that blast in Tennessee early Christmas morning. They are now searching a home associated with that person in the Nashville suburb of Antioch. Unemployment benefits for millions of Americans set to lapse at midnight tonight. Unless President Trump signs that end-of-year COVID relief and spending bill, Mr. Trump, though, is refusing to sign the bipartisan package. He's demanding larger COVID relief checks for most Americans. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 cases worldwide, now 80 million. Data compiled by Johns Hopkins University says the number of confirmed deaths because of the pandemic stands at 1.75 million. The U.S. leads among all nations with nearly 19 million cases. This is SRN News.
سلامی دوباره دارم خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز. برای دوستانی که در این قسمت از برنامه به ما ملحق شدن عرض کنم که در خدمت میهمان عزیزی راکی سینکاندولا هستیم. خلاصه ای از صحبتهای خودم رو با ایشون در قسمت اول برنامه خدمتون عرض می کنم. ایشون هندی تبار هستن و به دلایل مشکلاتی که با پدر داشتن به اردوگاه های فرستاده شدن، مخصوص جوانان زیر 18 سال، و اونجا با مشکلات بسیاری مواجه شدن. چند تایی از این اردوگاه ها امروزه به طور کامل بسته شدن به دلیل تجاوز، کودک آزاری و شکنجه های شدید بدنی، و بعد از اینکه از بودکمپ ها اومدن بیرون متاسفانه خودشون درگیر مصرف مشروب و مواد مخدر شدن و نهایتاً 2 سال رو در زندان به سر بردن. از زندان که اومدن بیرون پدر 2 مرتبه بهشون پیشنهاد میکنن که زندگی سالم و صحیحی رو در پیش بگیرن و ایشون قبول میکنن. امروز بنیانگذار و مدیر عامل هر میدن ایندیا هستند. راکی، tell us more about هر میدن ایندیا. Tell us more about the business, how you started, why you chose a business in this field.
Definitely. So Hair Made in India, we export mostly business to business. We do human hair extensions. So we get all the hair from the temples of South India, where there's religion down there that donates to the temple as an offering. From there, we have wholesale and retail operations, all over the world. So basically, Hair Made in India started when I was in Alabama State Prison, the story I was telling you before. I was in there, I was, trying to do good things. I was helping out with GED, school classes, writing legal motions for other convicts and inmates. And I was also brainstorming business plans and business ideas for when I got out. And Hair Made in India was just one of them. So in the story, as I told you, when I spoke with my dad, and he told me, it would be good for me to get out of the country. And when I left and went to India, I was there for about a month or so, just kind of living clean on a farm. Until, I started to get in my mind that I wanted to do something more, like try to do some kind of business. So I started looking at all the brainstorming ideas I had. Hair was one of them. And in the beginning, I really wanted to do something in India, and it wouldn't work out. So finally, I made a Facebook post about the hair, and all my friends from high school messaged me and said, oh, wow, if you have hair, give us a call when you get home. We would love to buy some from you. And that was about 7 years ago. And, obviously, the business journey is a tough journey as well. A lot of ups and downs the last 6 years. It took me maybe 3 or 4 years to even make a little bit of money at all. I was teaching tennis in the meantime. That's where it started, is in an Alabama State prison, and then on a Facebook post while in India before I came back to America and got started in selling and building the rest of the business.
Wow. So today, how many countries do you do business with?
We sell to basically every continent in the world, Antarctica and places like that. We have clients in the Middle East, in Asia, even have clients in India, Indian women that, going to a wedding or a special event or occasion, they want to just change their hairstyle or add something new or add some color to it. So basically all over.
So you bring the material, the actual real hair from India. Over here, you turn them into extensions and, if I'm not mistaken, wigs, like hair covers and stuff like that. And then you export them all over the world. Is that right?
Exactly. So everything as far as production goes, it happens in India. We do all the cleaning, all the manufacturing, everything in our factory in North India. Then we have a showroom here in Beverly Hills, West LA, where we have business meetings. We see retail clients as well. And then we ship to distributors and partners all over the world.
Okay. So basically, it's like a satellite business, if I'm not mistaken. Everything happens in India, and over here, you're just doing the clientele, getting the clients, and then sending them all over the world.
Exactly. As far as getting the clients, that's a lot of online marketing. I also do trade shows. Before COVID, I would do 7 mm-hmm. to 8 shows a year all over the country where I'd travel and show the products and meet people. As well as other kind of in-person things. It's just obviously in the phase of everything that's happened, businesses have been forced to go even heavier online and everything.
I see. دوستان عزیز ایشون میگن که در هندوستان موهای واقعی رو تمیز میکنن و اینها رو به صورت هیر اکستنشن در میارن یا اینکه کلاگیز یا هر نوع کاوری که با موی واقعی درست بشه. و بعد اینجا در لس آنجلس یک مرکز دارن به صورت شوروم که افراد میتونن مراجعه بکنن و تولیدات ایشون رو ببینن و بعد اگر که علاقمند باشن ایشون با تمام دنیا در واقع میشه گفت در تمام قاره ها کار میکنن و اجناس رو صادر میکنن به کشورهایی که تولید ایشون خواهان داره. Rocky, did this year's COVID pandemic affect your business?
Yeah, so for COVID and us, you know, first I guess I'd like to say that now the heart goes out to everybody that has been affected by it and hurt by it. However, I've actually grown a lot, both personally and in business. Here in India, speaking just strictly numbers, we've had almost 400% increase in e-com since the beginning of COVID. I've also learned how to, like, you know, restructure business. I think as entrepreneurs, one thing people like forget sometimes we make a certain plan and we just try to get there and do exactly like that. But it's really important as part of the lifestyle. You learn how to adapt and adjust as times change and the markets change and things like that. Even, you know, especially our world changes, we have to learn to adapt to it. So, you know, we went with a couple of new implementations as far as in the showroom. Now we do by appointment only, which I was worried about, you know, but it's actually helped us. The move from the location downtown to where we are now in West LA actually wasn't partly thanks to COVID as well, but we've seen tremendous results from it also. So, you know, all in all, I'm thankful for kind of, you know, a time when it was needed for me to kind of slow down and work on a lot of things in the business in the back end. So basically, you know, there's two sides of working. When you start your business, you're going to be working in your business, which is, you know, doing the daily tasks and shipping and you know, working with clients. And then you want to be working on the business as well, which is, you know, cleaning up the site, social media, marketing, and back-end systems. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in working in it that we don't have time to work on it. And, you know, I really applaud the people that, you know, when COVID came, that they slowed down and said, you know what, business is not stopping. It's time to work on the back-end of it. When things get running again, you know, we'll do well. You know, that's kind of the position that I took. I was like, you know what, so if I'm not able to do as many sales right this second or see people, then it's time to work on the system of the business because, you know, it's always about long-term sustainability, you know, when it comes to business. You don't want to just make a bunch of money and then shut down or go bankrupt.
I see. How many employees do you have? You mentioned a lot of categories like shipment, marketing and stuff. So in total, how many people do you work for you? Do work for you?
Right now, we actually have a pretty small team. There's on the main team, there's actually four people. We have a group of agencies that work on marketing our advertisements. There's two different agencies that work on different parts of our marketing. And then I have a web developer who works from the Philippines. Yeah, so that's pretty much the team right there. It's not the most difficult product to manage, meaning that, you know, it's a little bit larger. The difficulties in here come because it's an unregulated product. And there's a lot of room for error and for games and for things like that. So that's when the kind of difficulty comes in with the product management.
I was just wondering if are there any job opportunities for our audience, perhaps if they are interested in finding their own clients and perhaps export it to some other countries that you're not working with. Is there such a possibility? And if there is, how they can contact you? How can they learn more about Hair Made in India?
Definitely, yeah. So, I mean, the hair extension market is huge, something like a $27 billion a year industry. So there's always room for redistributors and for growth. We're always open to working with others as far as wholesale, even retail, or whatever as needed goes. We're very easy to find online. The website is just hairmadeinindia.com. That's spelled M-A-I-D-E-N. Like your mother's maiden name, Hair Made in India. Then you can put that in Google and find us on all social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and everything like that as well. One thing we like to do is to try to teach people and inform them as much as possible about the reality of actually what happens, because so many people don't even know what the business is about. So if you're not looking for hair, but you're just curious, check out the YouTube and you can find out some quick information.
Okay. بنابراین دوستان اگر که علاقمند هستین که در این نوع کسب و کار اقدام به کار بکنین و دوست دارین که آشنا بشین با تولیدات ایشون و شاید دوست داشته باشین که اونها رو به جاهایی صادر بکنین، و یا اینکه اگر دوست دارین با کمپانیشون بیشتر آشنا بشین میتونین همونطور که گفتن با وبسایتشون تماس بگیرین و از آنچه که در اختیار شما عزیزان هست بهره برداری بکنید. Rocky, we live in a very challenging time when it comes to starting a new business. Obviously, it's not comparable to what you went through, but it's challenging in its own way. What is your message to those who are facing different kinds of challenges and pursuing their dream job or business?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to pursuing, your passions and your dream job and wanting to create a life for yourself, I recommend always to people, really to take time to kind of slow down, get really in tune with yourself, and possibly just be away from everyone, even friends and family and music and TV for a little bit of time so you can really make some decisions, understand what it is that you want and need moving forward. In business, many people, get stuck in many different areas. I always say, especially for starting people in the very beginning stages, is, to start right away. If you've decided, say, hey, I don't really like the life I'm in, or I don't want to be working, or I want to create a different kind of life. I don't want to go, along the path laid in front of me, or whoever said that this is the way to go. Start today. You make that decision. You took the leap of faith. Get started. There's so much to work on in business. If you want to grow, if that's the thing you're going to do, there's always going to be something to do. It's very good to get started right away. And that has to do with what I was going to say next and about facing your fears. There's a lot of things that people slow down and get scared of as far as, business not being as secure, or the chance of failure, or what people are going to think. My best advice is, when you slow down and think to yourself, you realize that what they say really at the end of the day doesn't matter. And you need to do what you want to do to live the life that you want. You kind of see that you need to face those fears. And once you do, you learn from them. Things get easier. And most of the time, those fears are a lot smaller than you actually thought they were.
Very interesting. Starting a new business, besides having what it takes and not giving up and going after your dreams, it requires financial support as well. You have to have some sort of savings, or you have to have somebody to invest in what you plan to do. With your situation, being out of the prison, who did invest in you and enable you to follow your dreams? Was it your father, or you went after investors?
My father has always been in my corner, always has helped. When it comes to the business and how I started it, I told you the story earlier. I don't think I got too much into the details where I had an injury to my jaw where I was assaulted. An attempt was made on my life. From that injury, I was already in trouble with the state, the same state I was in trouble in. So the district attorney told my father that they would not prosecute the individual that did this because, and I can quote what they said, your son is a drug dealer and he's not allowed to be downtown, so we will not press charges. So my father pursued civil action, and the money that I actually originally started the company with from India, the inventory was, the money that that came from the civil lawsuit, basically.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't bad after all. I'm just joking.
Yeah, everything kind of worked out for the best. It's funny looking back how
it was worth it dying for, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't not worth dying for, but I didn't die. So,
but let me back up a little bit. So the district attorney told you that you cannot file a lawsuit against somebody who actually attempted to murder you, and basically because of that you lost half of your face. You weren't able to do anything about it, and then it was another case, a civil case, that helped you to get the money to invest in the business. Am I right?
Exactly. The DA told my father actually that we will not press criminal charges against the individuals.
Interesting. So I'm glad that I think in Los Angeles at least we have much better lawyers who do the criminal defense. And I don't think they say, oh, you have no case, you cannot go to downtown. But anyways, you in your bio, you said that you speak four languages, and I assume one of them is your Indian language, right, or Punjabi. The other one is obviously English. What are the other two?
So there's two languages in India. One is Hindi, one is Punjabi, obviously English, and then I speak Spanish as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, so Indian and Punjabi are two different languages that you speak.
Hindi and Punjabi. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I didn't have that knowledge, but very, very interesting. And Spanish, did you learn when you were in the boot camps in prison or through job?
Exactly, in the boot camp. When I was in the boot camp, that's when I learned Spanish.
So again, see, it wasn't that bad either.
Exactly. Something good came from every single piece of what I thought was bad back then.
If I ask you, what is your worst memory of those dark days? Do you mind sharing one of those with us in details?
One of the worst memories. So I remember being done with prison, done with everything, finally away from everything, and I had got back into the same lifestyle, and I was addicted to Oxycontins, and I was living at an ex-girlfriend's grandmother's house, but not a house. It was like a shed in the back, and I remember it was cold every single day, and I was on so many drugs I couldn't sit still. And I got in my truck, and I started driving across state from Mississippi to Alabama, and it was snowing. And it was snowing so bad that eventually my car skidded off the road, hit a tree, and I had to call a tow truck and get us towed out of the freezing cold weather. And I remember when I was about to get in the tow truck, I ran back into the woods through snow and like in the woods. I'm kind of like scared of going even to go back and get some drugs I had in the truck to get back in the car and before I went back home with the tow truck. I remember when I got back home and I sat there with my ex and we were fighting and things and it was cold and I was like sneaking in this house. I remember thinking right then, I was like, this is horrible. I can't imagine anybody, like, you know, I can't imagine, like, you know, how I got here, what I'm doing. And actually, it's crazy. Not even two to three months after that was the point when the story I told you, my dad came to me and asked me if I wanted to leave the country, and I said yes.
So your worst memory goes back to after you were done with the prison and everything. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know,
it doesn't even go to the boot camp days. It's
yeah,
after.
You know, the thing is, what's so crazy, it's the reason it's kind of easier for me to talk about is, as a kid, all the stuff that happened, like, so much of it I've kind of, like, covered up, it's only now I'm remembering it, that it would come out of my dreams. So I've lived, like, a lot of those worst moments as from a childhood over and over in my head, so much so that I don't even know sometimes, you know, what parts are real and what parts are the dream. It's all kind of scary. So as an adult, finally going back and looking at all this stuff, and I mean, I guess I'll knock on wood, you know, and it hasn't happened in a while now. I haven't had a bad dream while I'm waking up screaming in quite some time. So I really feel like just talking about it and getting this stuff outside of me, it was inside of me anyway, has been helping me. And that's why I think it's important for anybody listening or anybody that hears this is to decide to, you know, to share whatever things they are were bothering you in the past. And a lot of people don't even think it'll help. I know with my situation, it definitely did. And I think for people that have went through super, super traumatic stuff at a younger age and have actually started to come out of that, they forget to deal with it. And for me, you know, I told you the last 6-7 years has been up and down journey too. I've done very well, but there have been some points the last couple of years as well where I can, you know, give you another worst memory where I've almost made, you know, huge mistakes and have made some mistakes. So, you know, it's kind of an up and down situation where at the end of the day, like, you don't want to be worried about the outcome so much as taking the learning experience and living, you know, each moment and understanding that, you know, this is what we have right now.
Thank you so much. من از ایشون خواستم که یکی از خاطره‌های بسیار بدشون رو برای ما تعریف بکنن و ایشون از دورانی تعریف کردن که حتی از زندان هم بیرون بودن بعد از اون بوده ولی هنوز درگیر مواد مخدر بودن در اون موقع اکسیکودین استفاده می‌کردن و بعد تصادفی رو داشتن به خاطر رانندگی در برف و اتفاقاتی که در اون موقع افتاده و این اتفاق رو حتی بدتر از دورانی میدونن که توی اون اردوگاه ها زندگی میکردن و یا دورانی که در زندان بودن. Real quick, if you go back and you want to change something in your life, what would you do differently?
So I've thought about this question a little bit in depth now. I've been talking for a while. But if I could change anything, I don't think it would be in the situations, because I learned so much and I'm really happy with where I'm at now and the direction I'm in. However, there's one thing, and that it took me a while to realize this, is that though spending so much energy and time worrying so much during the whole process, I've learned now, and whenever I catch myself extra worrying, I try to stop myself now. That's the one thing I regret a little bit. I wish I didn't spend so much energy, so many tears, pulling out so much hair, worrying so much about the outcomes, especially if the parts where I couldn't control it. I've learned more and more now, just especially when it comes to things that you literally have, not much control over in your life. You want to kind of just learn to always deal with your situations and problems and issues, but smile and let things play out their natural course. So you can't really, put your fingers in them.
Wow. I think you learned that from getting your degree in philosophy, because it was really deep. And I'm going to translate that. And then with that, we're going to say goodbye to our audience. دوستان عزیز، من ازشون پرسیدم اگر که بخوان چیزی رو توی زندگیشون تغییر بدن، وقتی به گذشته نگاه میکنن چه چیزی خواهد بود، و ایشون پیشنهاد میکنن که اگر که مسئله و موردی خارج از کنترل ما هست و نمیتونیم در اون تغییری ایجاد بکنیم، نباید بیهودم نگران اون باشیم و انرژی و وقتمون رو صرف نگران بودن و ناراحت بودن بکنیم. ولی خب اگر موضوعی هم در کنترل ما هست، این هم من اضافه بکنم که باید حتما تغییر لازم داده بشه. Thank you so much for being with us today. The time flies so fast and we are reaching the end of today's program. I want to just thank you for dedicating your time to our program.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me here and for everybody listening in today as well.
Thank you. دوستان عزیز، تا برنامه آینده همگی شما رو به خداوند بزرگ میسپارم. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار.
کارآفرینان
ارائه از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN.
کارآفرینان
پیام شایانی هستم. سالیانی است افتخار دارم که در کنار جامعه ایرانی وکیل شما باشم. هر سال در این ایام به مناسبت فرارسیدن سال نو و تعطیلات با پیامی آرزوی روزهای شاد برای شما داشتم. ولی در این روزهای متفاوت که جهان چهره‌ای دیگر به خود گرفته، نمیشه چون گذشته فقط آرزوی شادی داشت. چرا که بسیاری از ما در شرایط کنونی راه زندگیمون چه از لحاظ سلامتی و چه اقتصادی هموار نیست. آرزو دارم امسال تمامی زنگوله‌های کریسمس برای شفا و بازیابی تندرستی و برقراری آرامش به صدا در بیان. هنوکا، کریسمس و سال نو بر شما مبارک.
Merry Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
روزهای پر امید به زودی باز می‌گردند و بیزنس‌ها با بازگشایی آماده پذیرایی از مشتریان خود می‌شوند. رادیو ایران بهترین وسیله برای رساندن پیغام صاحبان مشاغل به ایرانیان جنوب کالیفرنیا است. پیغام شما چه اعلام بازگشایی محل کارتان باشد و چه آشنایی مردم با بیزنس شما، به مهارت کادر بازرگانی رادیو ایران اعتماد کنید. آگهی در رادیو ایران همیشه جواب می‌دهد. 323-851-5476 323-851-5476.
MGM Lenders با مدیریت آقای شان صادقی با لون‌های کنونشنال، جامبو، FHA و VA و استیت پروگرامز که بدون احتیاج به مدارک مالی و up to 95% loan to value هستند، با دو دیپارتمنت رزیدنشال و کامرشال که شامل خرید، ریفای و ریورس مورگیج می باشند، وام شما رو با سرعت در خدمتتون می زارن. 844-MGM-LEND یا 310-999-2915.
دوستان هموطن عزیزم، شان صادقی مدیر عامل شرکت MGM Lenders هستم. از اعتماد و محبتی که همه شما به من داشتین واقعا سپاسگزارم.
MGM Lenders با رتینگ A+ از Better Business Bureau. فقط با یک تلفن به MGM Lenders آقای شان صادقی و همکارانشون به سرعت لون مورد علاقتون رو لاکین میکنن. شماره تماس 844 MGM Lenders.
یا 310-999-2915. عضو 08 ایرانیان.
کامیونه جلوم بود پر از چوب، یکی از چوبا پرید هوا، صاف اومد تو شیشه ماشین.
یه ماشین پیچید جلوم، زدم رو ترمز، پشت سری محکم کوبید به هم.
داشتم تو فریوی میرفتم یه لاستیک ماشین طرف ترکید، صاف اومد تو شکم من.
هنگام وقوع یک حادثه ناخواسته به شماره 818 4 میلیون تلفن کنید و از مزایای 19% دفاتر حقوقی دکتر رضا حسنلو استفاده نمایید.
بله درست شنیدین، نه 33%، نه 25%، فقط 19%.
از آنجایی که در دفاتر حقوقی دکتر رضا حسنلو بیش از 80% پرونده‌های تصادفات بدون رفتن به دادگاه به نتیجه میرسند، شما فقط با پرداخت 19% تقل وکاله از سرویس و خدمات ویژه این دفاتر بهره مند می شوید.
دکتر رضا حسنلو
818 4 میلیون.
بوی عشق و احساس، یه دل دارم پرآوازه بدون حد و اندازه، دلم عاشق دنیاست، مگه میشه نباشه وقتی عشق من اینجاست. دل و با تو بستم از بوی بهارت مستم، خلقت اگر که اینه قدرت خدا رو هستم، حاله به تو دادی دستم یعنی پشت غم و شکستم، حقی تو رو آفریده من اون از میونه همه دلها شده عشق من و عطر همه گلها، یه دونه از میونه همه دلها شده عشق من و عطر همه گلها. یه گل دارم که هر دونه یه اون خونه یه دل هاست، پر از عشق و نیکی به پاکی اوستا، یه دل دارم پر آوازه بدون حد و اندازه، دلم عاشق دنیاست، مگه میشه نباشه وقتی عشق من اینجاست. عهد دل و با تو بستم از بوی بهار مستم، خلقت اگر که اینه قدرت خدا رو هستم، به تو دادی دستم یعنی پشت غم و شکستم، حقی تو رو آفریده من اونو میپرستم. یه دونه از میونه همه دلها شده عشق من و عطر همه گلها، یه دونه از میونه همه دلها شده عشق من و عطر همه گلها.
از هم اکنون افزون به پخش زنده صبحانه با هما سرشار از ساعت 8 تا 10 بامداد هشنبه، بیش از پیش از رسانه‌های اجتماعی نیز یاری می‌گیریم. برای دسترسی به آرشیو برنامه‌های گذشته خانه دوست و صبحانه با هما سرشار، آنها را در یوتیوب، فیسبوک، اینستاگرام، تلگرام و سامانه شخصیم برای شما یاران وفادار بارگذاری کرده ایم و هر هفته آنها را به روز می‌کنیم. در رسانه‌های اجتماعی ثبت نام کنید، دنبالم کنید و لایک را فراموش نکنید تا هر زمان که خواستید برنامه مورد علاقه خود صبحانه با هما سرشار را گوش کنید. نان داغ و چای داغ و بحث داغ. هماسرشار.com، facebook/هماسرشار youtube.com/homosashar, instagram.com/homosashar, telegram.com/homosashar.
اگر کسی باور نکنه که ما در جنگ هستیم،
دانشگاه مجله رادیوی 670،
قدرت های استکباری امروز
بنده که معروفم در دنیا،
با من مهدی آقازمانی
مردم حمله کردن، نیروهای ضد شورش فرار
او به جمعه دیدن.